We begin the current daf Masechet Zivam is daf Kof Hei. We begin on the bottom of the daf Kof Dal Amud Beis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf, and that is they had sent to the father of Shmuel the following halacha: a vama that spit in front of the yavam in Bezdin. So then halacha is tachlis, she has to do chalitza because she already started the process of chalitza by doing the spitting. As we said in the previous daf, there are three components: recital, kriya. There's chalitza taking off the shoe, and there's the rekika, the spitting. She started already, so therefore she can't go ahead and do yim anymore. So the Gemara asks, who can that be? If he says, like Rabbi Kiva, if he says in our previous Mishnah that rekika is not ma'akiv, even when you could do it, if you did chalitza, it's okay. Well, then most definitely, it's not going to be enough to say that you already started to become possible to do yibam. If he says it's going to be Rabbi Laza, although he says in our previous mission that it is integral, if you do chalitza without the rekika, without the spitting, it's not a valid chalitza. But still, how can you say that you become possible to do yibum when you do the spitting if chalitza is something that's called, that's something that needs shnei matirim, it needs two permittas, it needs the taking over the shoe and the spitting. So why by just doing the spitting would that be considered something clinically significant to say that it's going to create a psul? You need to do both components. So there the Gemara concluded, as we had said in the bottom of the previous daf, that it must be going like Rebbe. The Rebbe says even when you need two matirim, for example, like by the shtei halachim, where you need to have two components for it to become sanctified and permitted to be eaten, which is the slaughtering of the kivs yatzeres together with the throwing of its blood. However, if you do one of the two permitters, for example, slaughtering the animal, and you did that lishma, but the throwing shalai lishma, it's kaddish, in the kaddish, it's enough to become sanctified, to become pasul, but not enough to become kosher. And that's essentially the same halacha that they had sent to the father Shmuel. If she just did the spitting, yes, that's not both matirim, but it's enough to say that it already started the process, and therefore she's possible to do yibum the brothers. And then to continue the process of chalitza, you'll have to do chalitza, the taking of the shoes too. And that's why Karn Daf begins and asks, Umiyam Rebbe Kiva Rekika Loi Pasla? The way we concluded that discussion was it can't be Rebbe Kiva, it cannot be Rebbe Laza, it must be Rebbe. And therefore the Gemara asks, is it really true that Rebbe Kiva holds that just having the Yavama spit will not invalidate her from doing Chalitza? And that is, you want to assume, as the Gemara had, that of course, according to Rebbe Kiva, she would be able to do Yibam, and the spitting would not invalidate her? But V'tanya Olin Nabraisa, that said, Chalsa V'loi, we continue on top of Kofei Manal, Rekaka V'loi Kara. Let's say the Yavama, she took off the shoes, but she didn't do the process of the spitting or the recital of the different psukim. Then chalitza sikher, that chalitza is kosher, as the title is always called chalitza. The primary is the taking off of the shoe. Let's say rukaka, let's say she spit, but v'lo chalitza v'lo kara, she didn't take off the shoe, and neither did she recite those psukim. Chalitza sapsula, her chalitza is pasul. Now, however, as the Gemara will illustrate shortly, when we use the terminology psula, it means that it's not valid in fulfilling the obligation of chalitza. She's not allowed to marry other people yet. However, it will invalidate her also additionally on the brothers that she can't do yim anymore. Now, the third case is Karav, let's say she recited, but didn't take off the shoe nor spit, then in Kambeis Mechers, and there's nothing to even consider. In other words, that she's not even possible from doing yim to the brothers. Now, that's the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Mani, who would be the Tana of this Braisa? Elim, Rebbe Eliezer, if you say like it's Rebbe Eliezer of our Mishnah, but the Braisa says, if she only took up the shoes and didn't spit and didn't recite chalitza sekshera, then the chalitza is valid. But if Amar Rebbe Elazar says in our Mishnah kacha yeyase, that the term kacha always means that it's ma'akev yeyase regarding ma'isa, that is davashu ma'isa ma'akev, anything that's an action, which is what rekika is, spitting in contrast to just speaking, which is just called diba ba'alma, is ma'akev. So definitely the brisa cannot be like Rebbe Elazar, because it says if you didn't do rekika, it's not ma'akev. Elabshit Rebbe Kiva, so obviously the Braisa is going like Rebbe Kiva. The Ketani and the Braisa taught, Rekaka v'lechaltza v'lechra, let's say she spit and didn't do chalitza and didn't do kriya, so chalitza sepsula. So that's what's called the invalid chalitza. Now the Gemara explains, Laman. In other words, for who are you saying that it's psula? As the Gemara explains, Elim, if you say that it means that she's not permitted la'alma to other people yet, Pshita, it's pretty obvious. Of course, if you just did the spitting and not the taking off the shoes, you're puzzled for other people. Because mihavi chalitza, is it a chalitza without taking off the shoes, the ashtari la'alma to entertain that should be permitted to other people? Of course not. So what do we mean when we say that when she just did the spitting, that it's psula? Elalav la'achad, it must mean to say that she's puzzled to the brothers from doing yibum. Shmamino. We obviously from over here that the Tana that we had previously said the halacha they sent to the father of Shmuel that the Yevamah that spits is possible doing Yibam is even like Rabbi Kiva, because obviously we see, as the Gemara will shortly explain how that works out, that although Rabbi Kiva says that spitting is not integral for the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Chalitza, but if he did this spitting, then already it will invalidate. As Rashi brings from the Gemara Masechtas Gittin, Daf Chaf Dalma Beis, that wherever it says Chalitza Psula, it means not only is she puzzle from, let's say, marrying out, which was what the purpose of Chalitza is, but it also means that she's puzzle on the brothers, can't do Yibam anymore. Similar like when it says get puzzle, it means that not only is it invalid for her to be able to marry other men, but it also means that it invalidates her on the Kahanim, because it's a get, but it's puzzle. It's Chalitza, but it's puzzle. So, yes, she can't go ahead and do Yibam anymore, but yes, she can't go ahead and marry other people either. But one thing we see is that by default, the time of this b'risa must be like Rabbi Kiva, and yet still he says that the Rekika will invalidate her, Chalitza Psula, from doing Yibam to the brothers, and therefore the halacha doesn't have to be like Rabbi, it could even be like Rabbi Kiva. But now the Gemara asks, well, Rabbi Kiva, if that's the case, Maishna Rekika, what is the difference, as this b'risa clearly is saying is like Rabbi Kiva, that it's what's called, it's Pasla, it's considered Chalitza Psula, it's enough to invalidate her from the brothers, although it doesn't help for her to marry other people, Umayishna Kriya, but why is it any different than the recital where if she just recites but doesn't do Chalitza or Rekika, it does not invalidate her on the brothers, as it says, Inkam Beis Mechush. It doesn't say the term over there of Chalitza Psula. It says there's nothing even to look at. She just recited Psukim, that's nothing. But the question is, since according to Rabbi Kiva, as we mentioned in our Mishnah, both of them are not Ma'akiv, so why would there be a halachic difference between them if you did either one of them, that it should go ahead and create a Chalitza Psula? Why should Rekika be any different than Kriya? So the Gemara says that it's based on a rabbinic concern. Kriya, if all she did was recite Pesukim, the Isa Bein Bitchila, where the Pesukim are recited both before the process of the Chalitz is done, when she says, Me'en Yivmi, that my Yavim doesn't want to go ahead and do Yim to me, Bein Bisaif, it's also done after the Chalitz, which are the Pesukim that she says, Kochiya Asa. Now, so even if we would say that she can go ahead and do Yibam, as the Brisa says, people are not going to come to confuse it and think that she's a Chalutza to say that, wait a second, after Chalitza was done with her, she went ahead and did Yibam, because no, they'll say that this day she recited Pesukim was what's done before Chalitza, and she never ended up having Chalitza. But Rekika, regarding if all she did was spit, there's no spitting in the beginning of the process before the Chalitza is done. Ulubasaif Isa, the only time she spits is after the shoe, after the process of Chalitza is done. So then Mechalfalei, so people are going to confuse and they're going to say, wait a second, we saw this woman, the Yavama, spit. Well, obviously, we know the order, she must have had Chalitza done first, and yet still, we see that she's having Yibam with the brothers. For us, Lemishri, Chalutz Lachan, the people are going to come to permit a Chalutza to do Yibam to the brothers, which obviously it's forbidden, that's Kimin Shalaybana Shubla Yivna. And therefore, out of that concern, we said that once there's Rekika, then you can't go ahead and do Yibam anymore. But you're right, halachically, based on the idea about the process, what's integral, there's no difference between Kriya and Rekika. The only reason is because of confusion. Confusion only applies to Rekika because then obviously it was Chalitza, but Kriya, they'll say, oh, that was a Kriya before, they never ended up doing Chalitza, and that's why she was allowed to do Yibam. That ends the discussion of the first version of what they had sent to the father Shmuel. Some say that they sent a slightly different version of what they sent to the father Shmuel. That is Yavamah Shurukaka, as the first version had said. Yavamah that spits. So Tachlitz, so she has to go out and do Chalitza, can't do Yibam anymore. But this version adds on, however, but although she has to go out and do Chalitza now, can't do Yibam, but she doesn't have to spit another time. And that is, you just go ahead and do the Chalitza. You don't have to do Chalitza and then Rekika. So although generally Rekika comes after Chalitza, but once you spit, so you got to do Chalitza, but you could just do Chalitza and that's it. As the Gemara brings, Kahida Asi L'Kamei Rabami, like this one that came in front of the Rabami. So Rabbi Yosef Rababa Bamama Kamei. So Rababa Bamama was sitting in front of him. Now, Rekaka made the Tachlit. So she spit, she got the order mixed up. She spit before she took off his shoe. So Amli Rabami, Rabami said to him, okay, Chalitzla, take off the shoe. But Charlotte, take her and end this whole thing. You could let her go home. She could leave Bazin. So Amli Rababa said to him, but we'll be in the Merik, but you need to have the spitting. So he said, Harakakala, she already spit to him. So he asked, Viterik Umabakach, I don't understand, what's your problem? We know the order is first doing Chalitza, then Rekika. So let us spit, what's the big deal? So on that he said, no, because nafik min echurva, there's something that actually bad could come out from this that's destructive if we make her do it again. Because di amr tahad de beterik, if we say for her to go ahead and spit again, so amr, what are people going to say? If you spit before chalitza, there's nothing, because we saw the rabbis, they made them spit again after the chalitza. Now, if that means that there's no halachic significance to it, what people are going to say is that by just doing rekika without chalitza doesn't invalidate her from the brothers. And whoever's going to see is going to do yibum, and because they're going to think that you need to have rekika after the chalitza, which as it's normally done. However, but v'asalimisha chalutz lachen, that's going to come ahead and permit a chalutz to our brothers. Again, because we have a concern, if we do rekika, and although there was no chalitza, if we let a woman go ahead and do yibum, even as we say, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's what the halacha should be, then people are going to think, oh, but rekika is usually after chalitza. Oh, and we see she's doing yibum. Must be a chalutza could go ahead and do yibum, which is not the case. And therefore we say that if we made her do it over again, people would assume the rekika before chalitza is nothing, again, which then snowballs into the concern about, oh, it's nothing. Oh, so then we can go ahead and have a woman that did rekika do chalitza. Go ahead and do yibum. The problem with that is if we allow that, so then people might confuse the other cases and think that it was actually in case of when rekika goes after chalitza, and that's chalitza, again, making the concern about thinking a chalitza could go ahead and be taken in yibum. But he asked him, but you need to have an order. The order is first chalitza, then rekika. And then that he answered, kisidron lema'akfa, order does not withhold the validity. So although the way one reads the pesukim, the order is like that. However, that's not mi'akim, and therefore, even if she spit first, it's halachically valid, and it's better off that, like that, than doing it the other way that the order is, because of the confusion that could create. Now, so the Gemara says, who savad dechuyu komatchali? So he thought he was just pushing him away by giving him that type of an answer because of the concern that he was concerned about. However, nafak dak v'ashkecha, he went out, and he analyzed, and he found the taka de tanya, it's actually a b'raisa. The b'raisa says, bein shektim chalitza l'rekika, whether, as the order should be, that chalitza is before the spitting, or bein shektim rekika l'chalitza, whether the spitting is before the taking off the shoe, masha asa, asui, whatever was done, and halachically, it's valid after the fact. I think Mark continues on these halachas of chalitza. Levi nafek l'kiryas, Levi went out to the villages, and Bo'umene, they asked him the following three questions. Gidemis mahu shetachlitz. What's the halacha with a woman, the shemeres yavam, that her hands were amputated? What's the halacha? Can she do chalitza with her teeth? Because we know she's supposed to take off the shoe. Now, generally, you do it with your hands. Is it valid even with her teeth? Second question they asked was yavamash rekakadam mahu. What's the halacha if the yavam, when she's spitting as she's supposed to, she spits out blood? Is that a valid chalitza? And the third question was a pasuk in Daniel. Pasuk says, but I'll tell you what is written in the true writing, which is this: the Malach was telling to him that I'll tell you whatever was decreed in heaven, and whatever was written down, which is true. Now the question is, you tell me that there are writings in heaven that's not true? So the Gemara says, Lahav biyadi. Levi didn't have the answer to the three questions. So also Shalbei Medrash, he came and asked the question in the study hall in the Beis Medrash. So Levi answered him the three questions. Does it say in the pasuk that she should remove his shoe with her hand? It doesn't have to be by hand. She can do it with her teeth. Valid. Does it say that she should spit spittle? That it should sound like that there should only be spit? It just said that she should spit, which means to say she could have spit and something else in there too. And therefore here also, although she's spitting out blood, it's not possible that there's no spit also in there. And therefore, of course, it's a valid rekika. Regarding the third question, that the pasuk says, which the question was, is there writing in heaven that's not true? And that is what they answered him, Likash, it's not a difficulty. When did we mean that it's a ksav emes? Meant to say when there's a decree in heaven that has an oath attached to it. Well, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it true and fulfills it, and he doesn't revoke that and be mevatel that. That's what it means, it's emes, it's eternally true. When did we say that it's not emes? In other words, that it's not truth in the sense that it could be mevutal, and therefore, if it doesn't have an oath, that's something that could be undone. Could Rav Shmuel bar Ami, the Amr Rav Shmuel bar Ami, Amr Bjornison, like he said, how do you know regarding a decree that has with it an oath that it can never be torn? And that's what we mean to say that it's emes, it's eternally true. Shemak says the pasuk Shmuel Aleph, says, L'chein nishbati l'beis Eli. Hashem says, and therefore I have sworn to the household of Eli, im yiskaper oven beis Eli, if the sin of the household of Eli will be forgiven, b'zevach u'b'minchat oylam, with sacrifices, with meal offerings forever, it will never be forgiven, and they're going to have an eternal punishment. And again, that's the ksav emes, because it was with a shvu, with an oath. Now, however, the Gemara does comment regarding this gzar din on beis Eli. Amar Rabba, he makes a deek from the pasuk from Hashem's oath. B'zevach u'b'mincha in maskaper. There's no atonement with karbonos and with karbon minchas of maskaper who be the v'tayra. However, there could be an atonement for that sin with the words of Tyra. Abayar Mehisev has also a similar deek. He says b'zevach u'b'mincha in maskaper. He says that there's no atonement with animal sacrifices and flower offerings of maskaper b'gemilz chasanim. However, there could be an atonement with kind acts. Now, so Gemara actually tells us that Rabbi Vabaya made the base elikos. Actually, both of them who give these interpretations, which actually are exemptions from the sin, they're both actually were from the household of Eli. Now, interestingly, the Gemara says Rabbi Osik bat Tyra Chaya Arbon Shnin. Rabbi who told in the words of Tyra, he lived for 40 years. Abaya Osik bat Tyra Ubi Gemilz Chasadim. Abaya that toiled in Tyra and Gemilz Chasadim Chaya Shit Shnin. He lived 60 years. Now, related to this sin of the household of Eli and their punishment, remember, brings Torah Bama, learn the Braisa. Mishpacha achas hoisi b'Yerushalayim. There was a certain family in Yerushalayim. Shoyim meisim kibben shmein esri shana, that the children would die at age 18. Sebo v'idias Rabbi Yechman Zakeh. They came and notified Rabbi Yechman Zakeh about this. So Amalemi said to them, Shema min mishpachas Eli atem. Maybe you're from the household of Eli. Shema says the pasuk is Shmuel Aleph, that the punishment said, v'chol marbis beischa yimusa noshim, that all those that come out of your household will die when they are becoming men, and therefore they die at this young age of 18. So l'chu v'isku b'tor v'tichu, go ahead and toil in Tyre, and you'll live. Holchu v'asku b'tor v'choyu, so they went, they toiled in Tyre, and they lived. V'yukari noisan mishpachas Yechanan al Shemoy, and they called the family of Yechanan, on the name of Rabbi Yechanan, who gave them this idea to go ahead and toil in Tyre, and therefore live. Now, related to this discussion that we're talking about, what type of gzar din could be torn or not? So, Amar Shmuel bar Unya Merav, he says, "Minayin legzar din shel tzibur she'in enachdem." What do we know regarding a decree against the tzibur, against the public of the Jewish people, that it doesn't get sealed? That the Gemara asks, is that really true? In enachdem doesn't get sealed. But Bokhsiv is a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, "Kim techabsi benesa." Hashem says, even if you're going to wash yourself with neser, which is a type of liquid agent that cleans garments, or betabri lachbayris, or you'll increase the soap, your stain of your sin is in front of me. And that is, besides the idea that the word nechtam has the same word as nechtam, but it's also that the stain is there and that it is sealed. So the Gemara says, rather, what we meant to say was that, how do we know that even if it does get sealed, miskareah, that it could always be torn if it's against the tzibur? Shemekah says, the pasuk in the Devarim says, Mika Hashem Elokeinu, who is like Hashem our God? B'chol kareinu lav, whenever we call out to Him, He's there. And therefore we say we always have it in our ability as a tzibur, as the Jewish people, which it says the pasuk in the plural, to go ahead and tear up our gzar din. But now the question is, but there's a pasuk in Yeshayah that says, Dirshu Hashem b'imatsa, you should seek Hashem when He's found, which sounds like that He's not always found. And that's your answer is, as we were saying before, loy kasha, habayachid, habit tzibur. That is, in the individual is not always. But the tzibur always is b'chol kareinu love, and therefore, even if it's sealed, it could be torn. So the Gemara asks Yochid Emes, so when is it that we said Behimotze, when is Hashem found for the individual? These are the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which are commonly known as the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. That's where Hashem is always found, even on an individual level. Now the Gemara resumes the discussion that we were speaking about before regarding the topic of Chalitza, and specifically what Sholchu Leilavu D'Shmuel, another thing that they sent to the father of Shmuel, Yivama Shurakaka Dam, as we said, that a Yavama that spits blood, tachlis, she has to go out and do chalitz. Again, similar to the previous, what they had sent to the father of Shmuel, that if Yavama spits, she has to do chalitza. Here they said that even if she spits blood, she can't do yibim anymore. She becomes puzzled to the brothers to do yibim. And the reason is, lefishi efshel adam, b'loy tzachtzuch reik, based on the previous halacha, that if she spits, she's puzzled to them already. So here, even if she spits blood, but it's not possible that there shouldn't be some spittle there in the blood that she's spitting out, and therefore that's already rikika, and therefore she's puzzled to the brothers on Yibim. Now, this halacha the Gemara's meisve. We learn the Braisa, Yochel yehei dam hayoytze mipiv. You would think that blood that comes out of the mouth of a zav should be tummy like his spit. Similarly, and the blood that comes out umipi ha'ama from the male member, tummy should be tummy like the zoiv, which are certain secretions that comes out of the zav's body, and his keri, his seminal emission, and his urine, which these are all different sources of liquid that come out of the zav's body, and they have a very stringent level of tumah. So in that, the Braisa says, you would think that the same thing is regarding blood that comes out of his mouth and comes out of his male member should have the same halacha as these, so to speak, fountains that are secreted out of his body should have the same level of tumah. Tama lema, that's what the pasuk teaches in Yikra, that zayvai tameh, that which flows out of his body, that's tameh. But vein dam hayitzim mipiv umipiv amet tameh elatar. But blood, which is not like things which are coming out, secretions that the body has, it's just in the circulatory system that there was a cut or whatever it is, and therefore it's coming out, but that's not considered from his secretions, which are like his urine or his spittle or his semen. Those are things that will transmit tumah, but not blood that comes out. Now, but one thing that we see from this halacha is that you could have blood coming out and he'll be tar, like as the Braisa says. Now, but additionally is that we see that, yes, okay, because the blood is not zayvay, but we just said before, which contradicts the halacha they sent to the father Shmuel, that you can't have spitting out blood without some spittle coming out. So how can the Braisa say that blood that comes out of his mouth, oh, blood is okay, but blood has to have spit, and spit is considered zayvay. So how could we say it's tar? I think Moses Lekash is not a difficulty, because kamba mitzetzes, by the Yavama, she sucks in. That is, you can't go ahead and spit out whatever you're spitting out, projecting, in this case, blood, without spitting out some spittle too. And therefore, they said to the father Shmuel that for sure she's going to be puzzled to the brothers, because when she's sucking to spit out, you got some spit there. But the Braisa here regarding the Zav is talking about where it just drips out. There's a cut and just drips out. That's possible just to come out Dam and not to come out Roik. And that's why the Zav, those liquids could be Tar and not Tame. I think we're continuing explaining our Mishnah that said on the previous daf, Cheresh Shenechletz V'chulu, regarding a deaf mute that had Chalitza done to him by the Yavama, or a cotton that had the Yavama was doing Chalitza to him, that's going to be Chalitza B'sula. Now, as we had previously explained, that the term Chalitza B'sula connotes that, yes, it's not valid for her to marry other people, but it will invalidate her on the brothers. Now, so therefore the Gemara continues on the base and says that Amar B'Yehuda Marav Zu Divrei Rameir, must be that this opinion of our Mishnah is the opinion of Rameir, that he said on Daf Tzadik Vav Man Aleph that the chalitza of a 9-year-old, meaning of a cotton that's done to a cotton, has the same halachic ramifications as when an adult gives a get, where an adult Yavam giving a get to the Yavama, although it doesn't permit it to other people, but it does invalidate her to him. It's Paslu Ala Achim. And that's the same thing that we're finding in our Mishnah, that a cotton that's doing chalitza, it's not going to permit it to others, but it's Chalitza B'sula that's going to validate her to have Yim with the brothers. But Rabbi Huda is saying in the name of Rabbah that the sages say they argue in this halach of our Mishnah, and they say, in Chalitza's cotton klum, the Chalitza of a cotton, that is, they argue with it. And they say, although the bia, the cohabitation of a 9-year-old, is like a mimer of a gadol, however, the other way around, that's regarding connectivity. But regarding disconnect, regarding Chalitza, they disagree, and they say it's nothing not even to go ahead and invalidate her on him. It's not true. His Chalitza is halakhically insignificant, and therefore they would be able to do Yibum, because the Chalitza of a cotton is nothing. That's only like Rameyu, who says the Chalitza of a 9-year-old is like a get of a gadol. And therefore it's a Chalitza psul. Now the Mishnah also said that Ketana Shechalitza v'chulu, if the Yavama is a minor, then that's Pesula. Now, that again, the Gemara says, Amrihuda Merav, Zudiv Remeir. That's going like the opinion of Remeir, where he said that a cotton and a katana can't do chalitza or yibum. The Amr, because, as he said, ish kasa bepasha. The Torah says in Dvarim Chafei, v'im lo yachbetz ish, if the man doesn't want to do yibum. Now, what that means to say is that it's talking about ish, an adult man, but not a minor. Now, a woman also, although it doesn't say in the Torah, in the parasha of Yibum, of Chalitza, to exclude a minor female, but she has to be an adult like the male counterpart, because u'makshinon ish l'ish, because we compare in the Pasuk the woman to the man, because it says over there in that Pasuk, v'olsi yivim tashar, the Yavama will go up. So it's mentioning in the same Pasuk, the Yavama And the Yavam, just like the Yavam has to be an Ish and not a Katan, so too the Yavama has to be a Gedayla and not a Ketana, and therefore her Chalitz is Psula. If she's a minor, yes, it might be Psula, it might have halachic significance, but it's not enough to be a full-fledged Chalitza to let her marry other people. But Al Chacham, this is what Rav is saying, but the sages say, they argue, no, Ish Ksiv B'Parsha, it says only regarding a man, but not a Katan. But Isha, ben gedol ben ketana, a woman, whether she's an adult or a minor, she could do chalitza, and therefore even a minor girl could go ahead and do chalitza with the yavam, and that's a chalitza ksher. So the Gemara is man chachim. Who is these chachamim that's obviously arguing on the Mishnah, on the halacha of a Mishnah, which is like Reb Meir? That's Reb Yosi. As the Gemara brings Reb Chiya, Reb Shimon, Reb Rebbe, Haba Yasser. As the Gemara will illustrate from the following incident, that it was Reb Yosi that said this halacha, that the girl actually doesn't have an age limit that she has to be by. Because we had Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon ben Rebbe that was sitting. So one of them opened up with the following halacha. He said, a mispal, someone that's davening, he has to put his eyes down to the ground. Which ground are we talking about? Towards the ground of Eretz Yisrael, because that's where the Shekhinah, the divine presence, rests. Shemak, it says, the Pasuk Malachim Aleph, v'hoyu einai v'libi shem kol yom, that my eyes and my heart will be there all the days. And a person has to have his eyes towards the ground, again, which is towards the ground of Eretz Yisrael. V'chadam, the other one said, no, einav l'mal, his eyes have to be looking upward. Shemak, it says, the Pasuk in Eicha, it says, nisa l'vavenu al kapayim, that we lift up our hearts with our palms, as the Pasuk there concludes in Eich Gimel Mem Aleph, El Bashamayim, to God in heaven, so you have to be looking upward. Now, Adahachi, Asri, Bishmo, Rabbi Yisrael, Gabay, in the meantime, when they were having this conversation, Bishmo, Rabbi Yisrael came to them, and Amalahu, he said to them, Bamayaski, so what are you discussing? What are you talking about? So Amalei, B'tfilah, they said, we're discussing the halachas of Tfilah. So Amalahu, he said to them, Ka'achamar Abba, this is what my father, Rabbi Yisrael, said, Hamispal, some of the Davins, his eyes have to be downwards towards the ground, but his heart has to be heavenward, to fulfill these two psukim, which on the one hand it says, El Bashamayim, on the other hand, the other pasuk says that it has to be towards the ground, towards Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the eyes are down, but the heart is up. Now, in the meantime, when they're having this conversation now, all these three Tamid Chachamim, Asa Rebbe L'Masifta, so Rebbe came to the study hall to give a lecture, and everybody had to quickly go find their seat. Now, Inu, Dehava, Kalili, the other two, who were very light-footed, Yesivu, B'duchtai, they quickly went and found their seat. But Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yesi, Agav Yukre, due to his heaviness, because he had a lot of flesh, as the Gemara says in Masechet Bava Metzia, Hav Mefaseh Vazel, so he was going slowly till he got to his seat. So Amalei Abedan, who was a student of Rebbe, making sure everyone was in their seat, he said to him, who is this that's stepping over the heads of the holy people? And that's because in Talmudic times, they used to sit on the floor. So he was trying to get to his place. It looks like he's stepping over people's heads. It's inappropriate. So who is this that's stepping over the heads of the holy people? So Amalei, he said to him, Ani Yishmol b'Rebbe Yosi. It's me, Yishmol, the son of Rebbe Yosi. Shabbosu l'ilma Torah m'Rebbe. I came to learn Torah from Rebbe. So Amalei Abedan told him, are you appropriate to learn Torah from Rebbe? So Amalei said to him, was Moshe Rabbeinu appropriate to learn Torah from Hashem? So he said to him, are you Moshe? So Amalei said to him, what do you mean, is your teacher God? Or what do you mean? And I'm saying, it's appropriate, whatever it is. And yes, I'm appropriate to learn from Rebbe. So Rabbi Yisrael said, commenting on the story, Shaklei Rebbe Limitrafse. Rebbe took his reward, in other words, his punishment, that he heard about this, and he didn't protest about what was going on over here in this discussion. The Kamalei Rabcha, that he ended up telling him, your teacher, Tabadan, V'loi Rabbi, but not my teacher, as the Gemara will shortly explain, that ultimately Rebbe had to come on to Reb Shmuel Rebbe Yesi, and not the other way around. As the Gemara says, Adahachi Asi Yavama L'Kamid Rebbe. In the meantime, when this discussion was happening, a Yavama came in front of Rebbe. So Amali Rebbe L'Abedan, so Rebbe said to Abedan, Puk Batka, go take her out and inspect. Find out if she has two Cyrus Boisimakim, two pubic hairs, to make sure that she's an adult, that we could do Chalitza. Now, Labasa Danafik, after Abedan went out with the woman, so Amali Rishmol said to Rebbe, he says, Kachama Abba, this is my father, Rebbe Yesi, and that's why we're bringing the story. He says, no, Ish Kasa Beparsha. In the Torah, only regarding the male, it says a man. And that is, for Chalitza, it can't be a minor. Aval isha ben gedoyle ben ketana, but the woman could be either an adult or a minor. You don't have to make sure she has two sires. She could do chalitza even without it. So Malaysa, Rabbi said to Abadan, Ta, come here. Leitzriches, you don't have to go out and inspect her, because Kva Harazakin, the elder, in other words, a reference to Rabbi Yasi, has already paskin that it's okay even if she's a minor. Now, so Kamafsa Abadan Vasi, so Abadan was stepping over people on his way back to Rabbi. So only Rishmo Rabbi Yasi said to him, wait a second. Misha Tzarech Le'am Kaddish, someone that the holy people need him. So Yifaseh al Rashi Am Kaddish, she could step over the heads of the holy people when you were going out to do this purpose of Rabbi's mission, so then you were able to. Misha Ein Tzarech Le'am Kaddish, but now that there's no necessity for you, Heich Yifaseh al Rashi Am Kaddish, how can you step over the heads of the holy people? So Rabbi said to Abadan, Kum Meduchtech, stay in your place, he's right. Now Tana, we learned, Ba'is Asha, at that moment, Nitzareya Abadan became a Mitzayra, and that was for his punishment of Lashon Hara for bad words that he was using towards Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi, which the punishment is a nega. And the Tavish Nevanav, his two sons drowned. Umeyan Yershtei Kalaisav, and his two daughter-in-laws, who were minors, refused his sons in marriage. Now, Rav Nachum Yitzchak commented on this, that Barich Rachmana, Hashem should be blessed to cast Bela Abadan Ba'alma, that he embarrassed Abadan in this world instead of what would be in the eternal world. Now, Rabbi Bami says that Medvar Shel Baribi, from the words of the Great One, that's the term of, it's honorific, which reference to Rabbi Yasi, which is the halacha that his son Rabbi Shmuel just quoted, Nilmud, we could learn that Ketana Chiletz is Pe'utas, that a minor girl could do Chalitza, even if she's very young, when she reaches the age of Pe'utas, which is around 6-7, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Gittinah, in the Testament Aleph, that Pe'utas, even little children, that their sales are sales, and their purchases are purchases regarding movable items, when they reach the age of 6 and 7. And therefore, regarding Chalitza, since, as we just said, it doesn't say an exclusion of that she has to be an Isha and not a minor. So she's Kasha, as long as she reaches this stage, when she really understands a little bit, that's enough for her to do Chalitza. Now, however, Rava argues in interpreting Rabbi Yosi's halacha. He says, no, it's Asher Degilo Oynes Nedarm. It's only when she reaches the age of taking a vow, of an oath, which is a 1 year before the time of when she brings Beis Cyrus, which if let's say that was 12, that would be from the age of 11, as the Gemara says, in Masechtas Nida, that we inspect and to see, although she's not a Gedalia yet, she still has a year to go, but we see if she understands what her vows are, then it will be considered a valid vow. And that's the age that she'll be valid to do Chalitza from. That's, she's still a minor, but not so young as 6 and 7. But however, the Gemara concludes this discussion by saying, Behalchasa is actually Atcha Tavish, the Cyrus is actually Halacha, is like Reb Meir, that it's until she brings two Cyrus that it's not going to be enough with her katana. It's Bein Ish, Bein Isha, as our Mishnah says, just like a katan is not valid, a katana is also not valid for her to do Chalitza. Now, the Mishnah said, Cholze Bishnayim Bechulu, we had a machlokes regarding how many people are necessary to do the procession of Chalitza. Is it three like the Tanna Kamma said? Is it two like the Zug said? Or is it even no people, even Bein Noyle Bein Atzmo, or one, as Rabbi Kiva's incident illustrates? So Amrav B'Yosef Bamin Yumi Amrav Nachman, he says, Ein Halacha Ko'ese Zug. The Halacha does not follow like the peer that said that two is good enough. Rather, Halacha is like the Tanna Kamma that says you need a bezin of three people to do Chalitza. Now that the Gemara asked, but Ba'amar Rav Nachman already said this Chadazimna already in the beginning of the Perek, and Afkofal from a base, where the Amar of Yisab Amin Yumi Amar of Nachman, he said, Chalitz is Bishloisha, Chalitz has to be done with three. So why does he have to say it again in the context of this Machlaikis, that it's like the Tanakama, that you need three? So that the Gemara says, Trichi, he had to say it both times. Because Di'it Mahach Kamaisa, if he had only said it the first time, which was on Daf Kofalov, that Chalitz is with three, Savamina, I mean, look at Chalitz. What does that say? What does that mean? That means to say, initially, that's what you should have. Avad the Yeved Afil Atrei, but the Yeved then maybe would be like the peer, that it would be good even with two. K'mash Malan, Ein Halacha Kaisa Zug, that's the Chiddush, why he has to say it here again. No, the Halacha does not follow like the peer. And that is, although it was already done, as that's the phraseology of the Machlegas of our Mishnah, where it says, Acholtz B'Shnaim, it was already done with two, and they said it's Kasher, on that they said, no, the Halacha is not like them, even after the fact, it's not going to be Kasher. Now, V'yashminon in halacha kaisa zog, elikatana kama, had we only said this halacha over here, that halacha is not like that peer, but rather like the tana kama, that you need three, havmin diyavid. I would have thought to say, as the terminology of our Mishnah says, that that's only after the fact, because that's the wording that it says, that if they did chalitza with three, and then you find out one of them is a relative or apostle, then it's apostle. But it sounds like, but if all of them are ksherim, then the chalitza is kasher, but it's going in the after the fact type of tense. But we would have thought to say initially going into Chalitza, you should have to have five, like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is. Tzricha, that's why we had to say that Kamash Malon, regarding the halacha of the machlekes with Rabbi Yehuda, oh, that's mentioned over there, the halacha is like the Tanakh Kama, that no, even like a tchila, all you need is three, and also b'diyevet, also you need to have three. And that's always repeated twice. Now the Mishnah said, Maisa shecholtza v'chulu. We had an incident where the chalitza was done only between the Yavam and the Yavama, no one else was around. And that Rabbi Kiva heard about this story, and they said it's a kasher chalitza, where he argues with all of them and says you don't need anybody. Now that the Gemara asks, b'nei l'b'nei miyadana. Forget about the validity of the halacha, but how do we even know that it ever happened to go ahead and say that there was a valid chalitza? So in that Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, he says, you're right, there was no one doing the proceedings, but v'edem royin oisai mibachutz, there were witnesses that witnessed it from the outside, so they weren't there officiating, so they're not, let's say like the Zug says to have two, or like Tanakh Kama says there are three, but we do have witnesses to testify that it actually happened, and that's why chalitza is going to be kasher. But really, to make the proceedings, you don't need more than the Yavam and the Yavama. Now, Yibayilu, we had the following question that regarding this incident, how this halacha is mentioned in the Mishnah. Maisa shecholtzu beinoy lebeino avroy, was the story that this took place somewhere out of jail. Just a Yavam and the Yavama did chalitza. And then that the story came to Rabbi Kiva, who, as is mentioned elsewhere in Shas, Rabbi Kiva was locked up in jail, and the story came to him. Or maybe or was the story talking about that the chalitza was between him and her, who they were both locked up in jail, and that's the story, and that's because the wording of our Mishnah says that umaisa be'echad shecholas beinoy lebeina. Now, there's a word, bevesa asurim, and it's not clear, is that from the first half of the story or the second half? Is it that it took place between him and her in jail, and then the story came in front of Rabbi Kiva and said it's kosher? Or is it, no, there was a story between him and her, stop, then bevesa asurim of all ma'aseh Rabbi Kiva, and then the story came in front of Rabbi Kiva in jail. So which one was it? And that the Gemara says, actually, Amar Yehuda Marav, bevesa asurim hayem ma'aseh, ulevesa asurim ba ma'aseh. Actually, they were both in jail. They were in a cell, and it was only between him and her. There were two people that witnessed it, and Rabbi Kiva was in another cell, and they came and told him about what happened, and he said, it's kosher. So actually, the Bevesa Surim is going on both the first half of the story and the second half of the story, but be that as it may, that's how we learn this halacha, Rabbi Kiva, that even as it's just Beinoy LeBeinatzma, as long as you have two witnesses witnessing the fact, that according to Rabbi Kiva is going to be a valid chalitza.